Look who's here, right at the start of the segment, prompt, prepared, excited, our quarterback guru, Pathew Bostic. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
Great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Great.
Thursday's great. Rule.
Lovely.
I love a Thursday.
It's really good.
You know, on Mondays, we got Caboli for an hour. On Wednesdays, you got Whaley for an hour. Thursday, you get 2 hours of Patty.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, man. You don't just get one.
We get two.
You get one and 50. 7/8.
Yeah, one and change. It's all good.
Like you said yesterday. I was going to screenshot that, by the way, and put it on Twitter.
I heard you guys.
Big old dart
hey,
from you.
You know, I told you this before. When I'm on time, I listen to you guys on my way here. When I'm running late, I don't.
Because you don't want to come in annoyed by
what? Because I know you're going to talk about my habitual tardiness, and then I'm going to be late again. So that it just adds insult to injury.
No traffic today?
I even stopped at Starbucks today.
Wow, he had time.
Yeah.
Did you get up earlier?
I did. Yeah, my wife gets up really early to start her work, and I got up around the same time.
Ooh. Would you say you've got pep in your step today?
Yes. Yes.
Any particular reason why?
Panthers are 4-0 and it's an open week.
That's the best.
That's a nice feeling.
It's the best. Good.
That's a really nice feeling. Steelers are 3-0.
Volleyball?
Volleyball is good. I think we got a decent football game on tonight. Dallas and New York, the battle of I don't know what.
I thought you were talking about Temple and Army.
Well, no.
That football game tonight's awful.
It is awful.
It's going to be awful.
There's nothing I hate more
than a bad Thursday night game.
Yes. And a lot of the time we get a bad Thursday night game, it's when they're shoving the Giants or the Commanders down our throat. Now, maybe it's not going to be so tough watching the Commanders anymore, but it's always these NFC East matchups where they know that there's going to be a bunch of people watching because those are four teams with massive fan bases, with fans all around the country in the New York market and Dallas and... Yeah, I generally look at that and go, it doesn't do anything for me. But here's the look, Steelers fans got to watch because the Steelers play the Dallas Cowboys next, who are going to be a little rested before that game, and then in a couple of weeks get the New York Football Giants. So a little scouting adventure tonight.
Yeah, a little scouting, plus it's probably the two teams that have had the worst off seasons in pro football.
Ooh. Losing Saquon, and then the whole CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Yeah.
Paying Dak, whatever they're paying Dak.
If the Cowboys lose tonight.
It gets hot.
It has to, right?
Oh, it's an iron skillet.
Because the Giants just beat Cleveland. Now. I mean, I know it's Cleveland, but like it's, you know, they've kind of risen from the dead a little bit. So this isn't going to be a walkthrough. If you're the Cowboys.
I saw a Saquon Barkley stat that made me go, whoa. So I'm not going to get it exactly right, but on average, when Saquon was a Giant, first contact would be 1 yard from the line of scrimmage. Now it's like 2.5.
Mm.
So they're opening up holes for Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia in a way that they were never open in New York. But we're going to talk Steelers. We will get into Pitt and what they've got upcoming. So much to get to with Pat over the next couple of hours. But we react to something Doug Whaley said yesterday that has made its rounds on the social media. Doug talking about Justin Fields and what he would do as a general manager in this situation.
If I'm Omar, I go into Art. What are you willing to pay this guy? Because if he continues on this trajectory, you're talking $40 to $50 million. Are we ready to do that? If you're not... Then the next step is, do you throw Russell Wilson in there and maybe lose a couple games for the future? And you hope Wilson plays well and keeps you winning, but do you sacrifice this year for the eye on the future so you keep the cost down and you know you got a guy?
Oh, man.
These are the things that you have to think about when you're the general manager.
I disagree with all that. I also think that if Russell Wilson plays – it's because Mike Tomlin thinks he gives them the best chance to win. And then the happy accident would be, all right, maybe you keep running with Russ and you still have faith in Fields and then you do pay Fields less. I don't know that it would be talked about explicitly, let's sit Justin Fields to save money. This ain't the Pirates.
No, I don't think so. I think the conversation, if you like put that into parts, the conversation about what will you be willing to pay Fields is a legitimate one. I think it's early to be talking $40 to $50 million, but that is kind of the market, you know, for a starter, a franchise quarterback, if you will. I think it's early to be, you know, getting the financial, you know, house in order to prepare to do that. But having the conversation, at least in an introductory way, I think has probably already happened when they took Justin Fields, right? Because that would be the ideal plan, right? As he comes in here, has a renaissance, and he's your guy, he's young, and he has everything you want. And you win football games right now with him. It's working out beautifully at the moment. But I think in Mike Tomlin's mind, it's, hey, the guy we got in there right now that's healthy is winning. Until there's any reason to consider doing anything different, we're just going to go status quo. I'm not going to anoint him. I'm not going to name him a starter. I'm not going to any of these things. We're just going to keep one week at a time. And Omar and Art can have those conversations separately.
And that is true. It's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those two talking about hypotheticals such as that, and Mike Tomlin being part of those conversations, because Mike Tomlin's focused on between the white lines.
Yeah, you're myopic at that point. You're just worried about one week at a time, and it sounds like, you know, it sounds like hyperbole and just coach speak, but it's actually true. I mean, at any number of positions, you're playing different guys every week, and you've got guys in and out of the lineup. I think at the quarterback position, it gets a lot more attention. You got a guy right now playing winning football. Why would you change it? Why? And I mean, what in practice is going to tell you? You know, what in the games is telling you that there are plays out there? Now, is Arthur Smith not calling stuff because Justin Fields is in there and Russell? No one will ever know that. Do they have a back page of the playbook that is just for Russ that involves a lot more? It can't be more athletic, but more passing. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden change their stripes overnight and become this like pass happy West Coast offense. I think what they do is what they would do regardless of the quarterback. Perhaps there's a little bit of a change up with Justin in there in terms of his mobility.
What do you think it could take, like, for them to go to Russ for in Justin's sake? Like, what does it have to look like to say, like, okay, you could see Mike Tomlin making a switch?
The sample size is so small right now that I think it's hard to make any just determinations on anything. I think last week's game was probably as complete a performance at the quarterback position as the Steelers have had in quite a while, save for a couple instances, right? Mason, a couple, you know, and so forth. But I think it would take a string of bad performances, a bad loss, which they had the opportunity to have a bad loss coming up. All of a sudden, the journey doesn't look too difficult. You know, Indy's a team you should beat, but they find a way to lose these games, including to Gardner Minshew. The Giants, and when he goes out, if he goes out there and turns the football over, that's the biggest thing. He goes out and turns the ball over, and it's not coming on the heels of three or four consecutive great performances, which I don't think anything until last week was even remotely great. It's been pretty good. Then you consider making a change, but at that point, what's your record? Where do you sit in the division? Who knows what those variables are?
I think the conversation about paying him is fascinating. Fascinating. And we're talking about Justin Fields, not Russell Wilson, because this guy goes 17 games. You go to the playoffs. You win a playoff game. It's easy. Easy, you pay the guy. You go through the regular season. Things are good, not great. Get into the playoffs. Get smoked. You still probably have to pay him. I'm not sure the price tag changes all that much if you win a playoff game or don't win a playoff game, but the feels will be different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot easier to say, hey, this guy, sure thing, we feel good about the future at the quarterback position if you've done something that they hadn't done in 7 years. But if you merely get there and lose again, you're still going to have to do it because what's the alternative? But it's not going to feel as good, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at $33 million if he keeps this up.
What did Baker get?
$33 million.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's
3 years, $100 million.
That's
so thereabouts.
The blueprint, right? I mean, the Baker Mayfield story is exactly what the Steelers. I mean, they have it on there. He has it on his desk, right? This is what it looks like. These are the attributes. These are the circumstances that lead you to invest in a guy, even remotely past 2 years. He's got to do this for our franchise.
That's when they won a playoff game, right?
They sure did. Well, against the Eagles.
His statistics were really good. I don't necessarily think the Justins need to mirror that, because of how they want to play. So yeah, I think that would be the ideal scenario, because you know, I know that we've talked about the hypotheticals of, is this team a Super Bowl contender? Listen, field goals are way up. You know, defenses are having their way at times. There's a lot of low-scoring games, including teams that typically score a lot of points, notwithstanding, you know, Buffalo boat racing. Jacksonville the other night. I mean, who's to say, you know, you go into the fire, you got some sharks on that defense now. I mean, you can make a game. You can make a team play your way with the way they're playing at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, if Justin Fields plays the way he did on Sunday, you got a shot, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, more than a shot. Yeah.
Like we talked to Doug about yesterday. Yeah.
It's the things that, and this is a credit to Arthur Smith, the things that plagued him in Chicago, and I think we're seeing right now that Chicago, the supporting cast in Chicago is not what you have in Pittsburgh. That's pretty obvious, but. He was running for his life trying to make plays and made a lot of bad plays. And I think in Pittsburgh, he's found a way to fit in and do what they're asking him to do. And those ugly parts of his game have not reared their head to this point. And we'll see if they do. If they do, then you have concern. If they don't, then you're working with something.
You guys ready for something very exciting?
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
It's not going to be.
This is incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
Pat Bostick with us until 9 o'clock. Pat brought to us by Giant Eagle and Gatorade.
Wow.
A little double sponsor action for one Patty Bostick.
Wow, that is exciting.
He's not just brought to us by Giant Eagle. Giant Eagle and Gatorade.
Wow.
Favorite Gatorade?
Propel. Strawberry lemonade.
Favorite Giant Eagle?
One on Virginia Manor Shops. No, I like the
That's
one.
What I was gonna
say. I like the Market District.
You like the Market? You get beer there.
They smell better.
You can get Gatorade at Giant Eagle. You know that? How about that?
Oh, buddy, Propel.
Got to be honest with you. I like the beer too. We get a beer sponsor.
You want a third sponsor now? get greedy over here. Like I said, Pat Bostick brought to you by Giant Eagle and by Gatorade. More Justin Fields talk. Duh. When we come back, Jeff Hathorn, bottom of the hour. The voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove at 7:50. So much to get to, so little time, so I'm going to shut up. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff Hathorn going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. We are with Pat Bostick until 9 o'clock, and he is brought to us by Giant Eagle and by Gatorade. Hey, Patty.
Yo.
Did you see that coming from Fields? Not just the game plan, but the accuracy, the movement in the pocket, the anticipation. Did you see him being able to have a game like that?
I
didn't.
He's done it at times, you know, in spurts, but I guess I anticipated seeing good things from him. I would say I expected to see more bad things from him, and they haven't happened. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
A lot of sense.
And that is, he's been more consistently good. I think it speaks to the cast around him. I think it speaks to his understanding of what they're doing and what's expected of him. I think Mike Tomlin's handled him really well, right? I mean, he hasn't. You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, in the meeting rooms, but he hasn't anointed him or there hasn't been this coronation now that they're 3-0 that he's the guy, he's the answer. This is a prove-it type of situation, and he's gone out and proved that he can do it, one, but more important, that he's not going to be a reason for them to lose. And that is, I've always felt that quarterbacks can lose games faster than they can win them, more often than they can win them. He hasn't done the things that contribute to losing.
How hard is it whenever you're playing quarterback to not go outside the box and take chances? Like, I mean, everything is enticing. Like, you see, like, defenses and, you know, defensive players, like, maybe shooting a different gap than you're actually supposed to, or staying home and or being asked to stay home and to do a certain thing. But then it's like, oh, I'm going to take a chance. Like, at quarterback, I would assume that, like, you have so many routes that are going out there, and you know it's probably going to be open based off of coverage and everything, but sometimes you just want to take that chance. And I feel like that's what Justin Fields was in Chicago. Like, I'm going to take a chance. And a lot of times it backfired, or even using his legs at times whenever he shouldn't have. Like, whenever you are back there and you're seeing everything, you're hearing everything, you're making your calls, like, how hard is it not to just go outside the box and just be freelance and go and try to make plays?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you are as an athlete. I mean, I was not the athlete as Justin Fields is, but understanding situations, I felt like the greater depth of understanding you have of what the offensive coordinator is expecting from the play and what can take that away, and then the situational awareness of, okay, it's third down, we need to convert, we're down three, maybe I'll run around and make a play. Whereas if it's third down and we're up 10, maybe I throw it away or check it down and we punt, you know, or we're in the red zone, we're at the 36-yard line, we've got one of the best kickers, if not the best kicker in the league, it's third down and 12. I'm not going to force this ball, we're going to take points. Or I'm not going to run around and take an 8-yard sack and make it a 53-yarder. I'm going to keep it at 40, you know, whatever. I'm not going to make it a 60-yarder. I'm going to keep it a 52-yarder.
Do you think most quarterbacks think all those things within one sequence, like within one play? Or does that, like, a process where you have to learn? Like, do you think Justin Fields had that mindset whenever he was in Chicago? Like, oh, we have a really good kicker. Like, maybe I should throw it away. Or is that something that you have to learn as you play and develop as a quarterback?
I think it's something you have to learn. I think it's something that also can be, it can spawn from the situations you're in, right? Like, if you're in second and third and long a lot, which I would venture to say Chicago was, you play different. You know, it's just like a defense plays different when they're up two scores. You saw that Saleh and Aaron Rodgers thing, like, get up two scores. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just pin your ears back and go.
Yep.
At that point. So I think at quarterback, when you're in manageable down in distances, when you know, staying on schedule and staying ahead of the chains, all those, you know, coach speak words are important and a part of the DNA of the organization, and it's something you do well. You can play with a better understanding of what it's going to take to win, as opposed to I got to do everything.
Hmm.
And that's where I feel like, you know, that was one of the things with Ben that was, I think, hard to manage, because you don't want to coach the dog out of a guy, right? Like, that's the I think we've talked about this. That's the fine line with Fields, is like, you don't want to overcoach him into being a robot. The way you do that is to explain situations to him. It's how guys like Michael Vick, even Lamar Jackson, have gotten better, is they know not only to help win games, but to prolong their careers, you can't run around like a madman all the time. Like, you're going to get, I don't care how big, strong, fast you are going to get lit up, and you're going to lose. And then you're going to get benched. And then you're going to get traded. And that, it's like, ultimately, you see these athletic quarterbacks start to get molded. It's one of the reasons I don't know, like, Josh Allen is so much like Big Ben, but he's probably a little bit more reckless. You know? I mean, throwing his body around. And there's times to do that, and there's times not to. And it's a hard line for guys that are incredibly talented, of which Fields is one. But it's one that I think if you have the right understanding, you're coached the proper way, you can get the best out of somebody.
Jeff Hathorn going to join us next. Have some questions about the Steelers injury report. We want to run by him. Real quick, I'm sure you guys saw it. Deshaun Watson on the 4th-and-3 runs to his right. Wide receiver wide open in the flat, basically jumping up and down for the football. Yesterday in the press conference, Deshaun Watson said he's a decoy. Oh, he's a decoy. He gets tackled short of the sticks.
They are a
total dumpster fire.
Yeah.
What are you not allowed to throw? I mean, he's a decoy. Can't throw to him.
Didn't he also say, I'm not a running back?
He said, I'm not a running back, yes.
Well, he was on that play.
Right.
He sucks. Things you love to see. This making fun of Deshaun Watson on 93.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Jeff Hathorn joins us next. And we are joined right now on the Fan Hotline by Jeff Hathorn, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff, good morning to you. How you doing?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
It's wonderful. It's Thursday. Wonderful.
Does it hit you guys all, though, that we are sitting here in the studio and it just now became not pitch black outside?
It just did, yeah. I kind of looked out of my peripheral and I'm like, all right, we're at that point of the season.
We're closer to 8 than not, and it is dark outside.
That's what happens, Adam.
Let's all go to Australia and it can be summer again.
Too many snakes, Jeff.
Yeah, and bugs and great white sharks. Like, I'm not. Yeah.
I mean, either.
Double kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
No. Double kangaroo.
Though I do have put a good beach body.
They could put you in a little pouch.
You ever seen a kangaroo, like, box?
Yes.
A human being?
I would love to see a kangaroo box you.
Someone tweeted this yesterday. We're way off the rails. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to everybody, including our listeners here. But someone tweeted yesterday that a kangaroo is just a deer that went to prison and worked out every day. All right, I digress.
So the Steelers.
Yes, Jeff, the Steelers. So the injury report comes out yesterday. 13 players listed on this thing. And Najee Harris with a DNP after being spotted in a sling, even though Mike Tomlin says nothing to worry about. So, Jeff, scale of 1 to 10. I live in my fears. How much should I be worrying about this here?
Yeah, Tomlin was definitive that Najee was ready to rock and roll on Sunday. Now, he was officially listed as out for rest. And a number of those guys, mostly veteran guys, were given the day off to rest. So, or were limited because of rest. So I guess we'll see today whether Najee, it's not like Najee has to practice all week. And if he is dealing with something, some kind of shoulder, whatever it might be, I think rest makes a lot of sense because they would need him out there on Sunday. But I think we'll find out more tomorrow. We don't know. Again, when we asked Tomlin, he didn't seem to have concerns about it. Didn't want to talk about anybody else who might be called up to take that position. So I don't think we'll obviously see Jaylen Warren. But Najee is, I think, still in play. And who would have thought that Cordarrelle Patterson could potentially be your lead back in, what, week 4?
That's incredible. I mean, I thought he was going to be used, but not as much as he's possibly going to be used this week. Jeff, I believe that Isaac Seumalo practiced yesterday. Don't know if he's going to play in the game, but if he doesn't, is Mason McCormick going to be the starter at left guard, or are they going to do the rotation thing that they did last week with he and Spencer Anderson?
So it's almost like college guys where they're leaving the door open and having battles during the week, and that's what's going on at left guard. Now, I'd say this about Seumalo. He did more than he's done since the pectoral injury. Still limited, still not a full practice participant. Again, he might need a day of full practice, and then they could put him back out there. We'll see how the other 2 days go. I mean, pectoral injuries normally take a little bit of time, but he was able to do more, able to use his hands, do some things in practice, so they feel better there. But I think either will be a rotation or a game time decision with both those guys. But I thought Mason did some nice things for his first NFL action. And now it's kind of intriguing. Okay, now that he got that out of the way, what could he do in game 2? Because I think when they drafted him, that the thought in the back of your mind was, all right, they didn't re-sign James Daniels. He's going to move over to the right side at least next year and be the starter there.
Jeff, we've seen a lot of talk both ways on Justin Fields. They don't trust him yet, or they love him. They're incredibly optimistic. Based on your insight, rate the level of excitement the Steelers have in that staff room, the front office, about the way Justin Fields is playing. 1 to 10.
Well, I'll first add this, Pat. You walk through that locker room, those guys love him. He doesn't say a lot, but he's earned their respect. Like, those guys will battle for him, and it's his work ethic, the way he handles himself, that he doesn't get, you know, two up, two down. He was cool in these pressure situations. They really appreciate that. As for the coaching staff, it seems like they're starting to trust him a little bit more with what they're doing with the game plan. And, I mean, he was fairly accurate. Forced a pass that ended up being intercepted, but he made some throws. That out to Scotty Miller, that's an NFL throw. That deep throw that was called back that he threw on the run was one of the prettiest throws I've seen in a long time. The guy has the talent, and I think they're starting – if he continues, and who knows how long he'll continue, But if he continues to make these smart decisions, they're going to allow more and more of the playbook. But I think they're gaining trust in what Justin can do.
Do we think we're going to see Roman Wilson this week? Like, I'm trying to equate it to Faltanu. They obviously are super enamored with Faltanu and how fast he was picking things up. But it took him, 2 weeks of practice in the regular season. So we're not quite there, even if he participates in full every day this week with Roman.
I thought there was a good chance we would see him last week, and they only dressed four receivers. This week they're facing an indie team that is last in the AFC in rush defense. So does that mean that they want to continue to pile up and, you know, really augment that advantage, or do they want to put in another receiver, especially since they use Patterson as a fifth receiver? Well, Patterson's going to be a running back this week. So I think there's a chance. I think there's a pretty good chance we'll see Roman Wilson. I mean, the health is there now. He's out there practicing like any other player. He might be able to make an impact with this team. I think it's about time that you start that. But it's typical Tomlin thing where he's like dangling that carrot out for a rookie. And Wilson, he's kind of seeing like, will this kid continue to work? Even if he doesn't dress that first game. And he's continued to work.
Jeff, speaking of receiver, it's been reported that the Steelers are monitoring the receiver market. Do you think in the next month that they acquire or trade for a receiver? And if they do, who might that be?
I think they are monitoring. I know, and I think Dorn, you had said, and I heard other people about Adam Thielen being, and then of course injury happens.
Yeah.
I don't know who that might be because I don't know which teams might dangle different receivers, but they're not going to say it publicly because they don't want to disparage the guys in that room. But I think it's pretty obvious that they're looking for at least some more competition in that receiver room. So I would expect them to be aggressive in looking at what's out there. Thankfully, I think with this trade deadline pushed back, they've got a little bit more time.
Jeff, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again on Tuesday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn. A good story up right now on 93.7thefan.com. Mason McCormick, what he said of his first NFL action. So check that out. Like I said, 93.7thefan.com. You mentioned reports about the Steelers being interested in a wide receiver. So you had Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler of ESPN say the Steelers are sniffing around. Jerry Dulac yesterday in his chat was asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard are the Steelers going to be pursuing Davante Adams? And he said 10!
Mm-hmm.
It's a Uke Watch 2.0, baby! Let's go! Adams Watch! Throw a hashtag on that sucker!
Man, if they get him.
Whew. Yeah, that's legit.
Yep.
Let's go!
He's better than Ayuk.
Yep.
Okay.
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%.
Hold
You're
up.
Absolutely right.
Wait a sec.
He is.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
We got to get to Billy Hilly.
Billy Hilly?
Billy Hilly. Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Pitt Panthers, joins us next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I am announcing we are officially on hashtag Davante Adams Watch. We'll tell you why coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, that fight song means that the voice of the Pitt Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, joins us. Good morning to you, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How goes it on this dreary morning?
Pretty good.
Not it's bad. Bright now that you're here, partner.
Yes, it is.
It is bright now.
I'll bring in sunshine. I know.
So is Eli Holstein, Bill.
Great decisions. He's got a lot of different quarterback qualities of guys you watch play on Sundays. And I'm not going to name them all, but I remember Pat during the backyard brawl. Twice saying that was a Ben-like move. And I'm not saying he's Ben, but when you can make decisions in the pocket and move in the pocket and shake people off, you know, that's Ben-like. And we've seen that a couple of times, but I just love his decision-making.
Bill, could we be coming upon one of the best Pitt athletics seasons in years ever? I mean, with the soccer team being number one in the country, volleyball being one in the country, Pitt football 4-0, the basketball team is trending upwards. Could this be one of the best years in Pitt sports?
I think it's shaping up to be. We've got a lot of contests to play and a lot of things to get through. But yes, It's shaping up that way. And, you know, there are a lot of people to be given credit for it. And that includes Heather Like, who is no longer there, but Heather ended up on her feet with that new position with the FBS. So, it's shaping up.
Bill, Doran mentioned basketball, and they officially got practice started on Monday. This is really the first year that they actually have some expectations on them, and I think a lot of it has to do with Jalen Lowe. Where does he stack? We're talking about freshman quarterbacks with Eli Holstein. Where does Jalen Lowe stack up in terms of freshman guards that you've had a chance to watch during your, 56 or 57 seasons doing Pitt basketball?
We watched him last year. He was injured and obviously couldn't be the point guard early. And so they forced Bub into that role, and Bub did a good job of holding the fort. But as it turns out, Bub is a natural two guard, and Jalen's just a natural point guard. And when he got healthier and healthier, that team got better and better. And unfortunately, at the end of the season, they were playing as well as anybody, but didn't get a chance to prove it.
Yeah, the season really did take off when Jalen Lowe came in and started doing his thing.
It was hand in glove.
I did want to ask you one more Eli Holstein question, Bill. I mean, you've seen all the great Pitt quarterbacks over the years. I mean, we're talking about ACC Rookie of the Week, four consecutive weeks. Has any arrived on the scene and you've been as impressed as you are with Holstein this quick?
No, not recently. Maybe many years ago when a kid named Marino ended up on the Pitt campus two blocks from his home. I hate to make that comparison, but no, it's been a while since somebody's made that instant impact. And what I love about him, you know, you hear it referred to in terms of NFL cornerbacks. He erases the last play. He erases the last quarter, the last half. You know, he's able to just, okay, now I have to make plays. And I love that about him. And I think it's only going to get better. Knock on wood.
Billy, we appreciate your time as always. It's really one of our delights of the week having you on every Thursday.
Absolutely is.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, and you have a great day.
Enjoy the bye week, Billy.
Enjoy the lake, partner.
I'll be at the lake, and that's no fake.
Take care, Bill.
There's the line right there. Hook, line, sinker.
Bill Hillgrove on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Conneaut, that what we're talking about?
He's Conneaut. That was my first, when I first was, you know, pegged to work with him, he took me up there and we went around his pontoon boat and listened to Steely Dan.
No.
People just like let him go past them like, oh, Bill, how you doing?
Oh, he is probably the mayor.
He is, right? He is. He is the mayor up there. Like, he is just, he walks on water up there. And he cares a lot about it. I mean, he cares a lot about that community. And he took me to the old, like, amusement park they had, which I think they had some financial troubles. He was trying to get that re-going.
So he's a man of the people up there. Fundraising. He's like Callis with that pool at Greentree.
Yes.
Except with some pool and some sweat.
Callis.
Yeah.
Yes. Callis with that pool in Greentree.
Yeah. I don't know if you know about that. Yeah, Callis is he's a political activist. No. This is not an invitation for you to talk about it.
Oh, he put his headphones on.
I know.
On
he's like a dog.
Can I just tell him real quick?
Oh, no. No, we'll tell him during the break.
No, we got to tell him now.
He's grabbed his headphones so fast.
So fast.
When I walk to my back door and I open the handle, I might just want to run outside. My dog comes running, right? We mention the Greentree pool. Cows, I got to talk. Everyone needs to know. It's like Bechtel with a wiffle ball.
You know, so glad you mentioned it.
Yes.
You know, why don't we talk more about your kyphosis then? You know, let's do that. Your back problems.
Yeah. Wow. Shots fired. This is going to be an interesting break. Don't go anywhere. Pew,
pew. I am married with two kids with my disability. What do you got going? You
know, wow.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024.
15 years younger than you.
That is true. You got a lot going for him, actually. And a bus on the way. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 77. Overcast.